Good morning, everyone. Today, Daf is Daf Pehei in Menachos. We are in the ninth perek of Menachos. It's a short perek. It's a very general perek that deals with where to go. Where to go for my wheat, where to go for my barley, where do I go for my oil. The oil discussion is coming up also. Okay, and so we started with the first Mishnah already of the ninth perek. The first Mishnah says that when it comes to karbanos in general, so you can go anywhere, right? You can go to Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Aretz, and there's no demand that says that you have to get the ingredients from Eretz Yisrael. That may be different by the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. Omer and Shtei Alechem, there may be a requirement to specifically go and get it from Eretz Yisrael, although we saw that was subject to a debate. We saw yesterday, Mishnah, Braisa, right? Three variant opinions in terms of where to go for my barley and wheat for the Omer Shtei Alechem, respectively. Okay, and that was part of our big discussion yesterday. We talked yesterday also about inferior grains and inferior barleys. We had the Chiddush of Ula. Ula said yesterday that if you have fruit which doesn't grow in a superior place, so Ula says that even if you bring it low kiddush, it doesn't have sanctity, right? Ula, right? And that Ula's discussion was about bikurim, correct? And right, whether it would apply also here by us as well, I'm sure. But that was second half of yesterday's daf. That was Pei Dalet Amud Beis, and that takes us to Pehei Amud Alef. We are now on Pehei Amud Alef, and we're starting today with the Mishnah. Today, hopefully, we'll go from Mishnah to Mishnah. Mishnah, meaning we got two sugyas to do today. We got the wheat sugya and we got the oil sugya. And then tomorrow, Rosh Chodesh, tomorrow we'll start with the oil for the menorah sugya. Okay, so a lot of good stuff coming up. And again, this is just basic discussions about where to go to get all the ingredients that I need in the Beis HaMikdash. Wheat, barley, and oil. Okay, more talk about wheat. We are in Pehei Amud Alef, and we start with the Mishnah. Ein mevien, lo mi beis hazvalim, v'lo mi beis hashlachim, v'lo mi beis ha'ilan. Okay, fields that are not the best fields, meaning they're okay, but they're not the best fields. So you should not bring from fields which are fertilized. Fields which are fertilized. What's wrong with fields that are fertilized? You would think that's how...
Yeah, that you
right, you would think that that's pretty much how it's done. Right. So Rashi says... here we're going to go to old Rashi. I don't know. They're both old. The Rashi Ksav Yad. Rashi Ksav Yad. Lo mi beis hazvalim. So Rashi writes over here. I know it's a strain on the eyes. Misdei shetzricha lezavel. Shema lo nizdavla kol tzarcha. V'nimsu kol peresek kechushim. If the field needs to be fertilized, it's an indication the field is not a quality field. Quality fields do not require fertilization. Just simply put it in the ground and a little bit of water and it'll grow. So, okay, so that's shot number one in Rashi. And, okay, look, I'm not a farmer, okay? I don't even think I need to say that, right? We all understand.
But if
it's a richer soil, so then it would grow on its own. And the fact that the field needs to be fertilized, you know, it's like steroids, if you will. Okay, that's number... that's correct. There we go. There's my addition to today's discussion. Rashi offers a second pshat, Lishna Achrinam in Ksav Yad Rashi. Shehazevel Mavish Umakakal Tam HaPeros. This one I hear. Right? Rashi says, you know, fertilization, we all understand what that is. It's manure. So, right, I always wondered about this. And Rashi over here says it straight out. So what happens when you put manure on the field? Yeah, so you put manure on the field, so basically your field is now growing in a field of manure. And that which grows up is going to be, to quote Rashi, "Mavish umekakal tam haperos." It makes it disgusting. The taste now is repugnant because it's now basically growing in a field of manure. Okay. Okay. New. It happens to be. Look, when we went up to the farm in Central Florida. You know, Dr. Berman, Gore's father, is a big farm out there. So he did. It's true. In other words, they fertilize the field because they have thousands and thousands of cows, and I got to tell you, it stinks something awful. Meaning, when you drive there, right, well before you actually get to the farm, you already smell it. It does. It, yeah.
After 7 minutes, it goes away, the smell.
You're right. You get used to it awfully quickly.
That's right.
Right. Okay. Aim of Ian Lummi Basis Volume. So, okay, so we covered number one, Basis Volume, fields that are fertilized. So, not the best fields and should not be used for your wheat and your barley. Lomi Beis HaShlachim. Don't go to irrigated fields as well. Irrigated fields, same basic story. Fields need irrigation, so that means, once again, it's an indication that it's not a quality field, and you need to supplement this field in order to get things to grow. You need to jumpstart it, and, okay, so again, not a quality field, shouldn't go there, and not Lomi Beis HaElan. And now to field with trees, so one more time, I quote the Rashi, Rashi Ksavyad, Mitzvah Shabena Ilanus, Mimnesha Ilanus, Yonkim Esakarka, Umachisha Metazraim. Because trees are demanding. They're basically going to usurp all of the water that's necessary for growth. And then all the grains that grow there are not really going to have the necessary water in order to grow. Okay, also, maybe a consideration of climate as well, but the Mishnah doesn't sound that way. Mishnah just simply is talking about qualitative nature of the fields. The Imhei V'Kasher. Now, in all these cases, all three of these cases that we just discussed, it's not an Eikov. It's not a Bidyevet, it would be okay. Okay, in other words, the Mishnah over here is just talking about here grades of fields. So, these are lower quality fields, lower grade fields, shouldn't go there. But if you do, it would be okay. Kate said, "Who owes that?" And now a little agriculture for the day. Okay, everyone ready? So Nira Shana Rishona. So the first year you plow. Okay, just that's it. Just plow the first year. Uvishana Shnia Zora. And in the second year, now you're going to plant. So in other words, you let the field just rest and relax the whole year. This is not a Shemitah halacha, by the way. This is just simply the Braisa teaching us, Mishnah, teaching us some basic farming principles. Let it rest for a year. Second year, come and plant the seeds. Korno Pesach. Now, we want it so that the wheat and barley, we're really talking about barley right now, because we're talking about for the Omer. We want it to come up right in time for Pesach. So, you plant it Shivim Yom, 70 days before Pesach. Now, I've been saying for a while now, it's a 6-month process. So we're going to cut that in half. Meaning the Mishnah here says it's even less than 6 months. From seed to plant, says the Mishnah, is only 70 days. Okay, for your barley grains.
Under this, it's year two, because year one.
Basically. Year one, you just left alone. But in other words, to go from seed to actual to actual plant, just 7-8 days. That's it.
Is that right after Tu Bishvat? The 7 days?
Is it right after Tu Bishvat? It's around that time. Shvat Adar, yeah. A little bit before Tu Bishvat.
That's interesting.
A little bit before. Tu Bishvat is 2 months before 60 days. Okay, so it's right around that area. So Shivim Yom, who owes the solus meruba. Now, you got to make solus. In other words, we're obviously going to convert the grains into flour. So Ketzad, Bodek Agizbar Machnes Yad Latochan, Alabo Avak Psula. Now here you want flour, you want fine sifted flour. Now we talked about this before. There's powdery stuff. Powdery stuff is the stuff we want to get rid of. You remember when we did the sixth parak of Menachos and we talked about the sifting for the Omer. So we talked about the big sift and the little sift, and the point of the little sift is to remove and get rid of all that dust. The Mishnah describes inspection. An inspection was done by the Gizbar inserting his hand into the flour, and if dust came up on his hand, no good. So Bodek HaGizbar Machnes Yad LaTochan Alabo Avek Psula, it would be disqualified. Ad Sheyinafneh, until you sift it again. And keep sifting it until it is just flour, right? None of the coarse stuff, none of the powdery stuff. The im hitlia psula. Worm infestation, says the Mishnah. That's a posel. That disqualifies. So worm infestation is no good. Okay? Mishnah gives us some basic principles in terms of where to go for the flour, for the barley, and a little bit of harvesting tips. And last thing in the Mishnah is about the infestation of worms. We'll come back to that later on.
We start. By the way, this year would have been Dalet
Odor. Dalet Odor. Oh, because there were two Odors. Oh,
yeah,
okay. Right.
Would have been
so it's fourth day of Odor. Kate said, so the Gemara over here talks now in more detail. Nirash and Rishona. So, The Mishnah, I'm sorry, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Nir Hashanah Rishonah, you plow the first year. Now, Ibailu Hechi Kamar. Now, the Gemara asks a very specific question regarding the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, you plow the first year, you plant the second year. Are you also plowing the second year? So the Gemara says, Nir Hashanah Rishonah Vishniah Nira Vizara. Odilma Nir Hashanah Rishonah Vishniah Zara Belo Nira. Okay, simple question. Am I plowing the second year? Or am I just plowing the first year, and second year we just go straight to plant? Okay? Tashma, the Tanya, so the Gemara says, okay, well, what we'll do is like this. We're going to look at a Braisa together. We're going to go through the Braisa. Braisa here is going to be a little bit more detailed than our Mishnah, and it'll be pretty clear from the Braisa. The Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Amar Rav Yosef Chiti Karzayim Ukfar Achim. The fields of Karzayim and Kfar Achim. Again, locations, I do not know geographically where they are, but Rav Yossi points to these fields, the wheat of Karzayim and Kfar Achim, il male smuchos Yerushalayim, hayu mevim mehan, lefisha ein mevina salmer, elam in asados, hamiduramos, omenuna ros, lekach, shebahen. Okay. We would like to go to these particular fields, Chite Kazayim and Kfar Achim. Now, the next word in the Gemara, in the Braisa, is Ilmale. I'll give you a little grammar lesson. Okay? I'm not sure if this is, grammar may not be the right way to say it. But Ilmale, that's a word that comes up a lot in the Gemara. The word Ilmale. It could end either with an Aleph or it can end with a Yud. Now, if you'll notice over here in the Gemara, we have Ilmalei spelled with an Aleph, and then you see all your notation devices in the Gemara, right? The Shita Mekubetzis and the Bachan, right? Everyone's throwing in a comment over here. What's the issue? The issue is, how is this word spelled? Is it spelled with an Aleph, or is it spelled with a Yud? Now, if you look in the Shita Mekubetzis, so he changes it from an Aleph to a Yud. What's the difference? Meaning, what does the word Ilmalei mean? So either could mean had it been, or had it not been. Okay? So which one's which? So, where's the Bach?
Right.
Yeah, here we go. El Malay Shehain Smuchos. He leaves it with an Aleph.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, and the difference goes like this. If it's with an Aleph, so it is Il Malo, right? Il Malo. Right, had it not been.
Right.
If it was with a Yud, it's positive. Had it been. Okay. So obviously it makes all the difference in the world in terms of how you're going to read that line. It's with an Aleph or with a Yud. Right, there is a Tosus and Megillah that makes exactly this point. The difference between Aleph and Yud. Okay. Let's read this. Amar Rav Yosi Afchiti Karzayim Kfar Achim El Malei Smuchos Yerushalayim. Had it... Which way we're going to go? Let's go with the Shita Mekubetzis. All right, had it been close to Yerushalayim,
right,
we would have used it. Meaning, it's pretty close to being a perfect field, just not close to Yerushalayim. First of all, we want our own. We want southern fields. Okay, again, southern fields in Eretz Yisrael are better. Nowadays, the northern Israel is really the prime location for planting. Certainly grapes. Grapes are planted up in the north. But you want the southern fields, and you want fields that are actually plowed for these purposes. Kind of like Kavana. I don't know if you really need Kavana when you're plowing. Right? I'm plowing L'shem Mitzvahs Omer. But in other words, but basically they have to... What you're looking for, right? The quality in the field that you're looking for is that it was plowed specifically for this purpose. Shebehem chama zarachos, mehem chama shokas. Right? You want a lot of sunlight, meaning if they're down in the valleys, they're not going to get a lot of sunlight. You want a lot of sunlight. Kesed osa, and now the Braisa, after telling us which fields are like really, really good fields, now let's go over our farming tips of the day. Nir Hashanah Rishona, Vishnia, Choresh Vishona Vizora. So here the Braisa says straight out that in the second year you plow. Right? So the question we were asking is, second year, do I go straight to planting? Do I plow that second year? Braisa says it. I plow first year, I plow second year, and then I plant 70 days prior to Pesach. Kedesh Tei Smuch Lechama V'Oseh Kanezeres V'Shibola Zar Sayim. Now, how, by Pesach, how tall would you should you expect these stalks to be? So the actual stalk itself—that's the little stick that the ears grow on. So that's going to be one zeres. Zeres, distance from thumb to pinky as the hand is outstretched. Okay, it's about a half an amma. Right, here's your amma. So one, two.
Wow.
Okay, so the stalks themselves will be one zeres off the ground. But then the ears over the stalks are going to be, zarsim, are going to be two zeres. So an amma and a half off the ground. Okay, not bad. That's, an amma is about 2 feet. So you're talking about, approximately, so you're talking about 3 feet, 3 feet high. 70 days. It's pretty quick growing.
Without fertilizer.
Yeah, without fertilization. Okay, so... Now, after it's grown, what do you do? Okay, so here we go. Sidura de Pas. Mishnah in Shabbos goes over the 39 malachas, of which 11 of the 39 malachas have to do with making bread. And that's what we're going to do now. And it is kotzer, harvesting, that's cutting. Ma'amer, collecting. Dash, threshing. Threshing is just simply separating the kernel from the chaff. Zora, winnowing. That now that I separate the kernel and the chaff, so there are, we're going to do separation, right? Dash is dash just simply means to dislodge one from the other. That's disha. That's what we call threshing. Zora now is winnowing, which means now I take it, I throw it up in the air, and the wind's going to blow away the chaff, and the kernels are just going to come right back down again. Borer. Bara is more separation, getting rid of the pebbles and the stones, because in the act of winnowing, the pebbles and the stones just came down right with the kernels. V'tochein, now we're going to grind. Umerakein, and then you're going to sift. There really are, just so you should know in general, there really are three separate malachas of separation. Right? There is Zora. Zora really is separate. I mean, I guess you can call Dash also separation. Right? There's Dash. There's Zora, there's Merakade, and there's Borer. There's actual Borer itself. So, in other words, but they all are different steps in the bread-making process, so therefore they're called four separate malachas. Umevi Umerakade, now we sift, Umevi Yotzo Gizbar, and now we have the test, inspection, right, which we talked about in the Mishnah. The Gizbar Machnitz Yadol Atochu, Imalta Bo Avak, Omer Lo Chazor, V'nafa Oso, Shnia. And inspection means that when the gizbar puts his hand into the flour and he takes his hand out, he should not find dust on his hands. If he does find dust on his hands, he simply turns and says, Nachamol, let's do it again. Mishum Rabbi Nasan Amru Gizbar Sachyado Shemnu Machnis Lasocha Ashamala Kol Avka. In the name of Rabbi Nasan, he says inspection was actually a little bit harsher, where the gizbar, before he put his hand into the flour, he would baste his hand in oil, and he would put his now basted hand of oil into the flour, and obviously that would attract the dust much more. So Rabbi Nasan describes this like higher level of inspection. Good. Period. Ad kan divrei habraisa. That's the end of the braisa. We quote this braisa simply because we raised a question. When we say year two, do we mean plowing year two, or we go straight to planting? Ketani miyach charish vishona. So it says you do charisha and you repeat. So latamech masis and lo ketani shona. So the Gemara says, okay, but I will make the following observation. The Mishnah doesn't use the word shona. The Mishnah talks not about repetition. So this brisa may not be in contradiction to the Mishnah, meaning brisa ketani shona halokasha kan ba'avuda kan b'sheinu avuda. So the Gemara says the Mishnah and the Brice could be just be describing two different types of fields. Meaning if the field is worked over and you come to year number two and it looks good, so go straight to planting. That's our Mishnah. And if the field's Aina Avuda, meaning when you get to year number two and you see the field needs more work, so that could be the Brice. So it may not be that there's any contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. It may be that the Mishnah doesn't require plowing in year number two. It could just simply be the Mishnah and the Braisa are describing two different circumstances. Okay, so, question. In year number two, do you have to plow? And the answer right now, the Gemara says, is really, we don't know. My Havi'Allah. So this is the Gemara's key words, where basically the Gemara says, okay, let's get to a bottom line. Meaning, okay, good discussion, let's move on. Tashma. De Tanya near Chetzia Vizarea Chetzia. I'm sorry, near Chetzia Vizarea Chetzia. Near Chetzia Vizarea Chetzia. Okay, farming tips of the day. Divide your fields in half. Half of it you plow, half of it you plant, and you keep alternating year in and year out. Right? We normally assume that the whole idea of Shemitah is that the field will rest in the seventh year. I mean, these Gemaras indicate that really they need more rest than that. Meaning that you alternate, and every other year you basically plant in the field then. Okay, so Shemitah is not all about agriculture, meaning I'm sure it has a lot to do with agriculture, but Shemitah is a mitzvah satorah. It's, you know, the Torah, it's more than just simply giving the land a break. So, near chetzi v'zorei chetzi, near chetzi v'zorei chetzi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Emi v'nesa Omer, Ela min hasados hamidura mo sheberet Yisrael, shebehem chama zarachus mehem chama shokas. Says Rav Yochanan, I go to the southern fields. Go to the southern fields, because that's where the sun rises and that's where the sun sets. Okay?
What does it mean?
Oh, sunrise and sunset in those fields.
It's probably closer to the equator, so we have more sunlight.
Tell us, it's on the hillside.
It's on the southern hillside. But I was thinking like Ben, meaning we are now in the, we're the end of winter, right? End of winter, beginning of spring. So the sun is rising and setting more in the southern hemisphere. Okay?
But the closer to the equator you are,
but it's already
the closer
over.
To the equator you
it's
are,
right over.
In the winter, yeah. Harvest time, the longer daylight sunlight.
Right, okay. More sun. All right, let me think more about that. I'm not sure if that's correct, but anyway, Rav Yochanan says go to the fields in the south. By the way, Rav Yochanan lived up in the north, meaning Rav Yochanan and all the Amorim, they lived up in by Tveria and Hoshaya, and mind you, of course, Rav Yochanan lived post Beis Hamikdash, so you know this was not, unfortunately for him and for us as well, it's not halacha lamaisa, but he says. Go to the southern field. Shabem chamazarachus, mem chamashakas. Tainan mehachi. The Gemara says. Bryce echoes the same sentiment. Abba shol omer. Omer hayaba mi bikas beis makla. Kebas gimel sa'in haisa. That when you had the omer would come from the valley of beis mikla. Again, geographic ignorance. It produced kebas gimel sa'in haisa. It was like three sa'a. Visad the Maduramas Haisa, and it was a southern field of Achamazarachas and Imenu Chamashokas. And once again, a description of getting a lot of sunlight, sun the whole day. Near Chetzi Vazarechetzia, near Chetzi Vazarechetzia. In the Brisa, same idea, alternate, right, every other year. Rev Chilke Bartuva Havale Karnadara. Rev Chilke Bartuva, one little story to finish up over here. This part of the Gemara. He had a corner of a field. Karna da'ara. It's an expression, right? A little field. Not a lot. Corner of a field. Near chetzi v'zara chetzi. Near chetzi v'zara chetzi. And he, right, he learned menachos. He came to daf on pehe, right, pehe. And he heard. Brisa says, you got to alternate. So, follow the instructions. Right? And obviously, this wasn't for purposes of Omer. This was just simply to manufacture and produce the best grains possible. So he did exactly as the instructions of the Braisa. V'avda achad trei u'mezavim l'lechita l'smida. And it produced double the amount. And the smida is really fine flour. A grade A quality flour. And the field produced grade A quality flour. All he needed to do was listen to the Chachamim. And he was in good shape. Okay. Im hitlia psula. Says the Mishnah, last part of the Mishnah, is that if there's worm infestation, so it's going to be disqualified. Tan Rabbanan. Sol shi'liya ruba psula v'chitim shi'liya ruba psulos. Brisa says that if it's flour, solus means after it's ground up and converted into flour. Shi'liya ruba psula. So if the majority of it is infested with worms, it's disqualified. Throw it out. Meaning a couple worms here and there. So try to take away the worms. But if you see the majority of it is wormed up, so throw it out. Same thing with the actual barley itself, the grains of barley, right? You see worm infestation, throw it out.
This with like a cereal. If you see one bug,
right?
If you see 20,
correct. But there are You're right, but this issue over here isn't so much an issue of kashrus; it's an issue of eligibility for the mizbeach to be brought to the mizbeach. Right? It's a qualitative issue. Although, right, we just talked about this the other day, meaning the mizbeach has to keep kosher. Right? Mimashke Yisrael. So it could be, now you could be right also, it could be that this is a kashrus issue as well. Rubam Psulas, by Rabbi Yirmiyah, Barav Chita, Barav Sa'a. Gemara asks a question, it's difficult to understand what this question actually is. Rav Chita or Rav Sa'a? Majority of the kernel or the majority of the actual container? Meaning that we say once they hit the majority of worm infestation, it's no good. Do we mean the actual kernel itself, meaning you need most of the kernel to be infested with worm? Or no, most of the bucket where you put the weed in is infested with worms? Even though I've presented the question, to be fair and honest, I don't fully understand the difference between them. Obviously, there is some distinction between these two.
In one case, worms are outside of the greens, and one of the other cases.
Maybe, maybe. I'm not sure. To be honest.
Kernel looks like damage. Maybe that's what it is.
Could be. Could very well be. Teiku, the Gemara says, we'll leave this question unresolved. By Rava, okay. Question the one final question on this discussion. No, two more questions. Higdishin mahu sheyolke. Okay, you have an animal that's a balmum. Let's start off simple. Let's start off with what we know. An animal is a blemished animal. Okay, so we just read about it in the Parshios and Chumash, in Parshios Emor. You can't consecrate that animal, right? It's not qualified. It's not fit to be brought onto the mizbech, and therefore you cannot consecrate it. So we know, right? Start off with the facts on the ground. That if I'm matish a balmum, an animal that's blemished, and it has simply no eligibility for the mizbeach, that act is a lav. That's a negative prohibition. Malchus, I don't think so. Right? It's a lav shem b'maisa. Okay. Point is that's a lav.
But is there a correction for it? You can actually bring it corrected, so there should not
be well, correct for it. Well,
you bring in good animals.
But you brought up
well, what you're going to have to do is, this animal is going to have Kedusha, not Kedusha Saguf, because it's a Balmum, but I have Kedusha Berek HaBayis, Kedusha Zdamim, and I'll sell it, and it's rectifiable, but it's still alive. It's a negative prohibition. Okay, so that we know for sure. Question on the table goes like this. We've just learned now that barley that's worm infested is also disqualified. So what if I take that barley and then matish that barley, that worm infested barley? Did I violate a law in the Torah? Does this law basically incorporate the idea of something, anything that is simply disqualified for the mizbeach? You can't be matish it. The Torah says to you, don't be matish it. So Higdishin mahu sheyolke aleihem. Now the Gemara, by the way, the Gemara says very clearly that you're going to get Malchus.
It's a lav.
Well, I'm just unclear because it's a lav shein bo maisa. Rashi
Ksav Yad refers to Gemara in Tanura, where he says, Rebbe says that if you Malchus it, you get 5 cents of Malchus.
Yeah. So good. Ma'am balei mumlam is bech over bechamisha lavin. Good. So, but it's a... How do we get around the fact? Tamura is an exception. You just spoke about this story.
Yeah.
Tamura is an exception. Megadif is an exception.
And
Adis is an exception. So, how does it work? How are you getting Malchus over here?
When you get to
tomorrow,
I guess we'll
find out. Okay. Stay tuned. Okay, I don't know. All right. Fair, plain and simple. I do not know. Anyway, point is that. Okay, again, but the question is, we know that if you're Makdish an animal that's a Baal Mum, you're going to get Malchus. How about here? How about being Makdish flour? That is worm infested. So, Kevin the Pasuk of Baal Mum, Dami Odome, and Baal Mum, Ela Bebehema. Maybe the terminology of Baal Mum is limited to just animal, Teku. So the Gemara says, I don't know. Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah Midas, Kolation Imtza Bo Tolas Pasuk. Wood. Wood cannot be worm infested. We know wood goes up onto the mizbech every single day. A block of wood goes up onto the mizbech every single day, and if that wood is worm infested, so that wood can't go on the mizbech. It's disqualified to be put on the mizbech. Legabe mizbech, Shmuel lo shanu al alach, aval yavish goro v'kasher. Shmuel says, well, if it's dry wood, you actually have an Eitza. There's something you could do. Wow, really, no pun intended over there. But there's something that you could do over there, which is, if it's Yavish, if it's dry, so now the part that is worm infested, you could just simply cut out, scrape out that part of the wood, and then you rest. And then the rest is fine to be put up onto the Mizbech. Apparently, when it's wet, no can do. Right?
It's too hard. It's,
yeah, I guess right. Too hard. The wood is hard to cut.
You're going
to
get malchus for a wood.
And then by Rava, and basically we're going to have now the same question. It's basically the same question, which is, now that I know that a worm-infested wood is disqualified for the Mizbeach, what if I take the wood and I makdish it, I sanctify it? So am I going to get malchus, much like I'm going to get malchus for consecrating a animal which is a bamum? And again, the Gemara says, "Take, I do not know." That was flour. We move to oil. Okay, we will do, there are two oil discussions. Today we're talking about oil really for menachos. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow we talk about oil for the menorah. Okay. Good. Tekoa alpha l'shemen. So you know where you go. You know where you go for your oil. You go to Tekoa. Okay. Tekoa. Yeah. Here. Here.
It's the same, right?
for the first time in a while. I don't know if it's the same, but right in Har Chevron, in the mountains of Chevron, there was a town called Tekoa. A number of years ago. Not that many. A terrible tragedy in Tekoa. Right. But it's in Har Chevron, it's in the mountains of Chevron. So Alpha Lashem, so you go to Tekoa for oil. Abishal Amr Shniala Regev the Aver Hayardain. And Abishal gives a grade B, right? He gives a B grade to Regev, which is found in Aver Hayardain. Now again, you're not limited. You can go to all the lands. There really is no limit in where you can go, but I gave you grade A and grade B. Amy vin lomi beis van velomi beis shlach velo min mash nizra beinehem. Once again, fields that are not qualitatively up to par. Fields which have fertilizer in them, we spoke about that earlier this morning. Fields which need irrigation. Again, we spoke about that earlier this morning.
Water from the sky only? I mean, like rain only?
Yep. In other words, fields that just simply are sufficient with rainwater. Volo min mash nizra beinehem. In the fields where you have other things growing there, between, meaning you separated the rows, no climb issue, but just simply, again, it's just a lack of quality. Mm-hmm. It's the other plants are taking up all the nutrients and all the water. So they may be kosher. So again, bidi evidah would be okay, but lechatchila shouldn't do it. Ain mevian.
Before that, the treat is the one.
Those are talking about grains. Here by the olives,
seeds. What did he sow? What did he sow?
Other things. Other
not grain. You don't.
There could be anything. Ain mevian an paktan v'im hevi kosher. Now don't bring an paktan, but if you do it would be okay. Stay tuned. The Gemara will discuss what an paktan is. Ain mevian min agargarin shenashu b'mayim. Don't bring gargarin, the seeds of the olive, the pits of the olive that are soaked in water. It'll give you, those olives will give you a little residual oil that's left. So when you soak it in water, so basically that's really, really cheap olive oil. To even call it olive oil is, you know, somewhat of a misnomer. So velomina kvashim, velomina shlukim. If the olives were soaked, that's no good. If the olives were cooked, that's no good. I guess here we're talking about now the olive oil. The imhevi pasul. Now in all these cases, these are disqualifiers. Meaning anpaktan is fine, sorry. Water soaked olive pits and
pickled
and cooked, no good. Those are disqualifiers. But Yishlach Yoav to Koa, v'yikach misham isha chachama. Yoav gets for himself a wife and he goes to Tekoa to get a wife from Tekoa. She was a smart woman. Maishna Tekoa. Why did Tekoa produce such smart women? So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yochanan mitoch shevigil meshemen zayis chachma mitzuya behem." Right, the correlation, maybe even here a causation between olive oil and being smart. So the Gemara says that shemen zayis is chachma. It, okay, do I can't explain the cause.
Should we drink it in the morning before we start the day?
The Gemara says, I do not remember where the Gemara is, which is not which is so appropriate, that olives create forgetfulness. Olive oil does the opposite effect.
Okay. Right, so you have to put olive oil on the olives before you eat them.
Right. I don't have an explanation. I don't have an explanation for this causation.
We learned this before.
Yeah, Avodah Zarah? Thank you. You remember. you must have had olive oil. I just have olives.
Ever since I do.
Raw eggs are... Right. Raw eggs are also no good.
Without salt.
Well, your memory is excellent. Tana Rabbanan v'tova b'shemen raglo zelchako sho'asher. Part of the brachos that Moshe gives in Vizosa Bracha is that in the chelik of Asher, Asher is going to get the oil, right? Each one of the tribes gets different portions of Eretz Yisrael, right? Each one of them has their own unique qualities to him, right? Complementary to the shevet themselves. Asher is oil. Asher gets oil v'tovel b'shem and raglo. So much oil found in shevet Asher that you get to dip your feet in the oil. Okay, you obviously have an excess amount of oil. If you can dip your feet in the oil, that's exactly what the pasuk means. Shemoshech shemen kema'ayan. The oil just flows. It's like a spring. Amu pamacha nitzruchalam anshe lutkia b'shemen. Members of the city of Lutkia needed oil. Okay, do we know why they needed oil?
Where's Lutkia?
Yeah, again, I'm a geographical vacuum, so don't ask me where. I'm asking right now why. Why did they need oil? I don't know.
It was okay. It was a vote of Zara, it says.
Oh yeah.
They were populated by idolaters.
Okay.
Located outside Eretz Israel. Yeah.
Not exactly a fun story to tell. I mean, you know. All right, but the point is like this: Anshe Lutkia b'shemen, so minolem pal mustus echad. Okay, so they appointed a guy. Right, and Amr lo lech v'havei lanu shemen b'me ribu. Okay, and so his job, he was commissioned to go and buy oil. Shemen ribu is, ribu is a 10,000. So, I'm sorry, me'a ribu. So 10,000, 10,000 times 100. Okay, so million. Okay. Halach l'Yerushalayim Amr lo lech l'tzor. So he went to Yerushalayim and they start sending him on a wild goose chase. So from Yerushalayim they say, go to Tzur. So lech letzor, halach letzor, amr lo lech legush chalav. So go to Gush Chalav. Halach legush chalav, amr lo etzol, lech etzol, plon lisade halaz. So they gave him the runaround. And so he went to a particular field. Now Gush Chalav is in the Chelek of Asher, meaning the whole point that we're telling the story is just simply to fortify the fact that Asher was flowing with oil. So this guy who is now commissioned to purchase a million, whatever, barrels of oil, a lot, let's just say it like that, a lot of oil, so now he finds himself in a field in Gush Chalav, and it's in the Chelek of Asher, Umatzo Sheya Ozek Tachazesav, and he was digging and plowing under his olive trees. So Amr lo yesh lecha shemen b'me'a ribu shanit sarich. So do you have it? Do you have the goods? So Amr lo hamtein li asayim melachti. So this guy who's working his field, his olive field, he says, why don't you wait? Right? Relax, sit down, enjoy, let me finish. Himten ad shisim melachto lacha shisim melachto hishol kelav lacharav. So okay, so finishes, the guy waits and waits and waits, finish for him to finish his work, takes his tools, put it on his back, and it's a sign that he's done working. And as he's walking through the field, so he picks up stones here and there, right, he's weeding his field, or cleaning his field. Amlo yeshach hashemen b'mei ribu. Now, usually when you're talking about a serious transaction over here. And usually as a potential seller, so usually you would show more excitement in the transaction. This guy seemed totally uninterested in the sale. Wait till I'm finished working and Well, hold on, let me pick up the stones off my field. So this guy says, he's taunting me, he's teasing me, he's just playing with me. He doesn't have the goods, he doesn't have the olive oil, he doesn't really wish to sell it to me. So so now they finally get back to the city, and right, this Jew takes this guy home with him, and as he gets home, so he has a shivka, he has a servant, and she pours for him hot water, v'rachatz bo yadav v'raglav, and he washes his hands and feet as he get home. Hotzielo seifel shel zahav malei shemen, and now out comes the oil, one jug of oil, v'tavo bo yadav v'raglav, and what the guy does is he takes his hand, dips in the oil, takes his feet, dips it in the oil. He is a member of Shevet Asher. He lives in the district of Asher. And the Pasuk says, right, you're going to dip your feet in oil. And he was a literalist. He dipped his feet in oil. So now sits down with the potential buyer, eats, drinks, and then he says, okay, here you go. And he had the goods, and he measured it out for him. Now, you only came for a million.
You want more?
You want some more? Not a problem. I have it. Amar lo hein. So he said yes. Now, by the way, his commission was only to get 1 million, and apparently that's all the money he had. How did he know that he was authorized to buy more? I'm not so bothered by that, but here's the problem. Problem is, I don't have money. I only have money to buy a million, and that's it. I'm alone. So you'll buy on credit. And we're not talking about long-term credit over here, because I'll follow you home, and you'll pay me when you get home. But in other words, okay, but I'll sell to you on credit. I told them, so another 18, Shemona Sar 18, another 180,000. Amar lo hiniach osto ha'ish lo sus v'lo peret v'lo gamal v'lo chamor be'eret Yisrael shelo scharo. And in order to transport all this back home, he needed a lot of animals. And
18 times as much as he thought he was going to get?
No, he was only there to get a million. And then over that, he got another 180,000.
Oh.
So another 18%, if my math is good today,
right.
Another 18% over what he was. Okay. Only another 8.
Reboy is 10,000?
Reboy is 10,000. So 18 times 10,000. So 18% more. So the Gemara says Shlos Chavar. So he hired everything. He hired all the donkeys and all the camels in order to transport the oil. So he got home, and he got home to a hero's welcome, right? Not only did he get a million, he got 1,180,000 barrels. Amar lahem lo li kalsuni. So here, over to Avodah Zarah, but he had good midos. He doesn't. He says, "Don't give me the praise." Meaning, the praise not really for me. And the Gemara says, "Lesson to be learned from this story." And the takeaway point from this whole story is, this guy who was out in the field, right? He didn't look like he had much. Meaning, what was he doing? This guy, the guy was wealthy beyond belief. But meanwhile, he was out in the field. He was digging. He was picking up stones, right? And the guy thought, the buyer thought, this guy's not for real. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, correct. That's proper conduct. Yesh mitasher ve'ein kol. Some people look very wealthy and meanwhile don't have anything. Pasuk in Mishlei, by the way. I'm not, this is not, this is, it sounds to us so contemporary, and it is. It is a timeless message. Right, ve'ein kol mitroshesh. And there are those people who look rush, who look very poor. The Hon Rav, and meanwhile, the extraordinarily wealthy.
How could he sell the oil to the people in our crowd? I mean,
right.
That's a major
point. Same question. I had the same question going on in my...
Means they look poor.
Right, mitroshesh means looks poor.
Yes, that's so hard.
Heady, that's an excellent question. I don't know.
Should not well, help
they,
me.
The answer was it was going to change the consumption, not for the...
No, it was for our desire. It says clearly...
Mm. Didn't say it was going to be used for
the desire. Yeah.
Didn't say that.
Oh, wait, but is that all right?
No.
It just could be.
He said that he's a non-Jew.
Consumption.
Could be he's just a non-Jew. The Gemara never says it was going to be used for a avodah zara.
Right.
Okay, let's finish up. We're I'd like to get to the next Mishnah. Ein mevin lo mibeis hasvalim. The hatanya ein mevin anpakten v'im hevi pasul. Simple theory between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah says anpakten is not the best, but it's okay. Braisa says no good at all. Mipneshu Srav. I should have read three more words. Skip the parentheses. We're on the top of Pei Vav Amud Aleph. Mipneshu Srav. It's like sappy. It's a sappy material. Yeah. It's not oil. So Amrav Yosef Lokasha HaRebi Chia HaRebi Shimon BaRebi. The Gemara says an interesting resolution. Very interesting resolution between Mishnah and Braisa. The Gemara says it's a discrepancy between Rebi Chia and Rebi Shimon BaRebi. We know Rebi was wealthy. Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, right? Codifier, editor, grand editor of the Mishnayos. He was wealthy. The Gemara tells us, again, don't ask me where, I forget, but the Gemara tells us that if anybody is, after 120 years, goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, I didn't learn because I was too wealthy, and I have my investments, and I had my businesses, and I had a lot going on, and that's my excuse why I didn't learn. So the Gemara says that Rebbe's a mechayiv, meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu just simply answers Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. Like, that's the answer. You're not going to have anything to say to that. He was as wealthy as it comes, right? Historically, the Gemara tells us one of the wealthiest people and had big friends. Antoninus was his friend. So, and nevertheless, he not made time for Torah. Torah was his entire life. So good. So that's and Rebbe Shimon, his son, obviously had a lot to inherit, right? Rebbe, smart investments, and Rebbe Shimon inherited. So the Braisa that says that I'm picked on is no good and it's disqualified. The Gemara says that's Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe. Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe, when in other words, for him,
Is it the other way around?
No,
Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe
he's
the one that used it. Rebbe Chia threw it out.
Right.
So, also what?
Yeah, because he used it, but the other one threw it out.
Yeah, Rebbe Shimon used it.
Oh,
everybody else threw it out.
Rebbe Meishu Srav, Rebbe Chia Zarek Leilan Pigan Delo Chashav Leishem and Klau. Yeah. Oh no, I'm right. Okay, good. Good. Okay. All this makes. Sorry. I had a lack of clarity. I'm back. So Lokasha, Rebbe Chia, Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe. Rebbe Chia, Zarek Lei, so Rebbe Chia would throw it out, meaning it's unpicked on, it's not really oil. And Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe, Metabo Bay. And Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe, no, he would dip his food in this oil. Visimancha, Ashirim Mekamsin. Right? Another thing, today we talk a lot about wealthy people.
That's true, though.
So wealthy people are Mekamsin, they're cheap.
Yeah.
So and so for Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe, so even though qualitatively this is not really good stuff,
he still made use of it.
So good. So now our mission that says that bidyevit it's okay, that goes like Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe, okay? Which it doesn't always work out. Doesn't always work out this way. But he's the son of Rebbe, and Rebbe's Masadar Mishnah, so he's going like the Mishnah. Okay. And Rebbe Chia is the Braisa, which that makes sense because Rebbe Chia is the Masadar HaBraisos. And Rebbe Chia did not make use of this, unpicked on this, poor quality, low quality oil.
He says that you're not allowed to make use of it for the base of Mikdash.
Rebbe Chia didn't make use of it in general.
In general.
And so because he didn't make use of it in general, correct. So therefore, he didn't use it for the base of Mikdash. Shisha chadashim b'shem ha'namor v'shisha chadashim b'abisamim v'samru kehanashim. Acrostic in the Megillah. 6 months, they're right. All these girls who were auditioning to be the queen. Some audition, by the way. Took a year preparation before they met with the king. And the Pasuk in Megillah says that they spent 6 months with Shem and Hamor, bathing and anointing themselves with this oil, and 6 months with perfume. Okay, and Shishach al-Shem b'Shem ha-Mor, my Shem and ha-Mor. So what is that? So Rav Huna Bar Chiya Amar Satachta. So Rav Huna Bar Chiya says it is Satachta. Now what is Satachta? Some sort of balsam oil, says Rashi. Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba Amar Shemen Zayish Lo Evishlish. We're talking about oil that's produced from olives that are very, very immature, physically immature olives. They haven't even reached a third of its development. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Amar Paktan Shemen Zayish Lo Evishlish. Why did the Shemen Hamor discussion come up right now? Because it goes in line with a Brisa. The Brisa quotes Rabbi Yehuda that says that Anpiknon is exactly that. It's oil that's not a third, oil produced from olives that are not a third developed. Shalohei vishlish. Lama stachanosa. Okay, so why is it so good? Meaning it's not good to eat, but it's good for cosmetics. So the Gemara says, Shmei shir sasera ma'adenes abasar. Because it's great in terms of hair removal, and ma'adenes abasar, it refreshes the skin. Okay, so...
hair removal, we don't want that.
Well, for no, well, for women.
Well, women,
for women, correct. The right. Aim of Venus, a gargish, and Ashur, Vemaim, Tan Rabban, Shem and Zeis, Kavu, Shaluk, Sharui, Vishal Shmar, Vishal Reachra, Loyavi, Vimhevi, Pasol. Brisa complements the Mishnah, pretty much identical to the Mishnah. Olive oil that is pickled or cooked or sediments or it just smells bad. Right, it doesn't pass the sniff test. Lo yavi v'mevi pasul, so it's no good. It's disqualified. By Rava, he gdisha maushu yilka alav mishum balmom came into pasul kabalmom dame odame in balmom ela b'mehema. Third time we're asking this question. You know we're not going to have an answer to this question. Third time we're asking this question this morning. What if a matish oil that is simply not fit? Am I going to get malchus for being matish a balmom, or is the term balmom limited to animals? Teku, the Gemara says, we do not know the answer to this. Good. Okay, today's daf, we talked about where to get the grains from, right? We point to the southern fields of Eretz Yisrael. We talked today about the harvesting and some good farming tips of the day, which the Gemara says were tried and tested and true. And then we started the oil discussion today, where to get the oil for the Beis HaMikdash. Once again, we pointed to oils that are good, oils that are not good. And we told the story today about a large transaction of oil. Good. I'm going to go. The rest of us don't need to hear this.